Well, I think I'm the caboose. The last of the ladies to speak, and just about the last of the ladies, right? I think I'm one of the oldest ones here. Probably Connie's older, but it's a blessing. God has been so good to me. I can't complain. You pray for me today and also as I go Monday to see if they can figure out what I have. And, you know, as I was thinking of my life and all the things that have gone on and the lives of all you missionaries, lives of all you wonderful people here don't know, what a blessing we have had from the Lord. Really, I can't even begin to number the many, many blessings that I've received. God gave us, Dale and me, a wonderful time in Mexico and wonderful friends there, wonderful friends here, and I cannot thank you enough for all that you've done for us. It's been a real blessing. You know, life is full of choices. When you think about it, every day we face so many choices in our lives. Every day, every aspect of our life, we have to make a choice. I'm reminded of Dale's dear stepmom. Most of you remember Mary Kay. She told us one time, told me, and I'm sure she's told many people, she was the only child that had a wonderful mother. And her mother told her one time, Mary Kay, when you wake up in the morning, you have to make a choice. You can be happy or you can be sad. It's strictly up to you. And you know, dear people, we too have to make choices. And when we wake up in the morning and open our eyes in the bed, we too face a choice. And we can either take what God gives us and say amen, or we can be unhappy and grumpy and wish that we had another lot in life. But I just am trying my best to remember those words and remember that we do have a choice. I remember the first time that we went to Leon. They asked us to come to, they were going to have a family conference. And of course, Dale being the oldest there, they figured he had a little bit more knowledge than some of the younger couples, and to speak about the family. And his first message I remember was on attitude. And someone said one time that attitude is 98% of what we do. We can really be happy or we can be sad. And so I'm trying to choose to be happy and to praise the Lord for whatever he gives us. And that's I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm bragging anyway, but most of you have never heard. When I was 9 years old in 1940, God touched me, and he showed me that I was a sinner, that I needed him at 9 years old and in my home church. And I trusted him as my Savior that day. I made that choice after he had touched me and chose me, and I just was so thankful. And I remember I would sit in church every Sunday. I would be there, and I would sit by my mom and sometimes hold her arm and sing. And when we sang, I'd sing. I can remember 9 years old singing and harmonizing. I don't know how, you know, it's just funny how it worked out. And so it's you know, I was so blessed. Even as a young person, I was reared in a Christian home. And then when I was 14, I feel like God really touched me, because I was asked if I would be willing to teach 4 and 5 year olds and 14 years old. And so I did, and that was the beginning of my teaching years. And I'd like to read one verse that has meant a lot to me. It's wonderful. John 15:16. I'm sure all of you know it. (Clears throat) Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's just a blessing. Know that God touched me, and he continued to use me in my life. During a revival meeting when my folks moved to Corpus Christi, and a revival meeting in our church, I felt like God was touching me again. He was choosing me to be a special servant for him. And I was 15 years old, and I surrendered to go to mission. I didn't even know Brother Dale at that time. But you know what was strange was, we talked about it later, much later, in fact. And we think it probably the same week that God touched him and said, I want you to be a missionary. And so that was pretty special. Instead of going, he was going to be a doctor. Instead of going to Rice, he already had his plans made. And he decided to go and prepare a little bit more for God's work. So came to Corpus, my town. And in the town where I lived, every Sunday evening after sun service, all the young people would go over to pastor's house because he got a real big room downstairs in the basement. And that's where we would have our get-togethers, like the young people here do. And we were sitting in a circle one day and playing a game, and he told me this. Dale said he looked across the room and saw me, and he said, that's going to be my wife. And so he managed to get over close to me, and so from then on, we were one. And we got married in 1948. Dale graduated from Baylor in 1952. We had began our family in 1950, excuse me. And he began pastoring ministry until God arranged for us to be able to go to mission field. And he pastored for 8 years, different churches around. We started a family in 1950 and had wonderful, happy years. And many children. They wanted 12. He informed me, and at 8 I surrendered and said, you're going to have to adopt the rest, buddy. You won't. So we did. We adopted 3. Anyway, it's been great. And I am very blessed. My oldest daughter, she's the oldest born to me in the family. She and her husband are in Venezuela. And in fact, right now they're closing out a week's camp, children's camp in the village, and they had 2 cars, trucks. They took their equipment and their, because they were going to have a vacation Bible school too. And they had 2 cars they took, and they barely finally got one running. It had 300,000 miles on it, and the other one was about that much. They finally got there. But we knew all the time that Dale was pastoring that. We still had that in mind. You remember, God called us as missionaries. And we at the time, you know, we just didn't know that there was such a thing as just going. You know, we had been raised in Southern Baptist churches, and so we supposed that, you know, you had to get a lot of education and, you know, apply, and maybe you might be accepted, maybe you wouldn't. And one day we found out that there were not only faith mission boards, and you raise your own support, but you could just get up and go. So after, Rachel was the baby, and we packed our belongings in our station wagon, the little trailer, and we took our 4 3/4 children and just went to Mexico. We knew one couple in all of Mexico we had just become acquainted with. And that was my entrance into strange things that I was scared to death of. Got down there, and we thought we'd travel at night because the children were sleeping then. So we had an old map that you couldn't even, we had no idea. We thought it was new. And we got down to Brownsville, and we had to literally ford 3 rivers. And got down there at night, and we saw all these Mexican men with these bandanas across their nose, standing at night along the highway, And I said, honey, they told us there were bandits behind every tree, and I believe it. Here's the cattle. You know, and I'd lock my doors if he had to get out of the car for a reason. You know. But we find out that that's the way they do. They don't want cold air. They don't want to breathe in cold air, so they put those things on. In fact, through the years, we have found out that if you have trouble on the side of the road, it's not an American tourist in a fancy car that will stop for you. It's these Mexicans in this little clunker of a car with kids hanging out all the windows that will stop and help you, and he will not leave until you leave. They're wonderful, wonderful people to have. It's just amazing how good they are. So anyway, all the time, in the back of our mind, you know, we kept saying, you know, when we were in the States, well, what are we going to do? God called both of us. And then we decided we'd just take off. So that's what we did. We took off in our old car, and that was something. I could tell you lots of experiences, but I don't have the time. But anyway, God He really directed us, and so we started. We were frustrated because we didn't have language yet. We didn't know in Spanish. Just see and know about. That's all we knew. And so we'd learned a few words, and Dale came one day, and he said, honey, we might as well go home. I'm never going to learn Spanish. We just might as well go home. We've been about 3 months. And really patient. And so I said, well, you know, I don't know much either. But I do know that they gave us 6 months on our papers. And it would be a shame to not use the whole time. And I'll tell you what, if we, in another 3 months, if you haven't learned enough Spanish to feel like you can preach, then I'll go with you. But let's finish up. And I certainly was no great woman of faith, but Dale told me many times, if it had been for you, I would have gone home. But anyway, we hung in there, and Dale felt very frustrated, so he felt like he'd see the children in the markets sleeping on the floor, and you know, it was just awful. And so he said, you know, we're going to start taking the children. Okay, whatever. And he did that, and we did that for many years, because he felt frustrated that he couldn't really preach. But, you know, one thing that was good about that was we did learn our Spanish from the children. And they knew no English, so we had to learn some Spanish. So we learned Spanish, and we were taking care of the children. And, of course, I was also went with, you know, three-fourths of one. So I had Mark there, and then Philip came along. And all this time we had these other children, too. So anyway, finally, we decided that we need to build our own place. We couldn't rent a house, so with this illness I have, I also have memory loss. we decided to find a piece of land, so that's what we did, close to Saltillo, and we bought it, and little by little started making adobe brick and fixing our houses. All this time, Dale would be preaching here and there, but he never had the satisfaction feeling like that was, that he was really doing what God really sent him to do. And finally, he told me one day, we need to pray because I feel like God really is wanting me to, wanting us to not do this. No, he sent me to preach, and I really don't have the opportunity or the time. You can imagine with 30 kids plus your own, you don't have time to do anything but fix things, you know, fix washers, fix, you know. And of course, we didn't have electricity for 2 years, so, you know, it's a lot of fun scrubbing on scrub board for all that many people. And it was, Norm remembers those times. He was with us. He and Fran spent their first year of their marriage with us. for 3 years, we didn't take any new children in, and by then, some of our children had grown up. Some had left. Some had gone to school. Some had married. So we had 4 children, and we had to place somewhere else, and that was not difficult. And so we really felt like that God would have us close it, so we did close the orphanage. And we decided. Dale said, "You know, I really feel like God is wanting me to have a partner in the work." I don't feel like he wants me to do this alone, preach alone. So we came back to the States after we closed the orphanage. We thought for 1 year to pray and to really seek his face. By then, our children were grossly lacking in English. They spoke all Spanish and very little English. They didn't want to speak English. They didn't. And so we thought, well, maybe we just better stay. And 1 year turned to two, and two turned to finally to about 7 years, a little, almost eight. And we came back, and we just worked and prayed. We're actors in church there in Houston, and just prayed that God would, you know, tell us clearly what we should do. And so he told us that Dale felt like he needed a partner. So we were coming and visiting quite a bit over here at Oak Knoll. Lindell had been by to see us in Mexico many trips when he was in Guatemala. So we felt like we wanted to come and maybe just pray with him and to see God's face about what we should do. And lo and behold, Bill and felt like the same way in Guatemala, that he wanted a partner. So we went down to Guatemala with them, behind him and Cindy, and one time to see what God would have us do. Maybe we should go to Guatemala, you know. And so we were after about 10 days down there. We came on back, and Dale said, you know what, I feel like I really want to go back to Mexico and preach the gospel. So we told Bill, you know, we're going to go back to Mexico. And we go sold our home, and so we you called us. Bill said he felt like he should work with Dale too, so they got rid of their stuff, and they met us, and we went to San Luis and found Bill and Cindy there. And Dale said, why are you here? He said, well, I rent a house because I thought this is as good a place as any to start preaching the gospel. And after a few months and years of praying, they felt like we should start. They wanted to start churches. So that's what we did. We began meeting after trying other things. They felt like God really sent them to preach the gospel to start church. So that's what we did. We started our home. And we had to, of course, and it was such a blessing. I don't know how many of you were here a couple, three Sundays ago when a young lady with her little boy came to visit me and Marty. Her name was Gama. She's a nurse, and she came up here especially to see us. She was one of my little kids in my Sunday school class in Linda's bedroom up the stairs in my house. And, of course, she's with that whole family, got saved eventually. And I remember when we went over to see her dad, who was not saved at the time, just maybe a couple of children. We walked in, and Nicholas had a can of beer in his hand. And he said, preacher, you didn't come to take care of my beer. Don't think you're going to come in here and take my beer away. And Dale said, I didn't come to take your beer away. I came to bring you Jesus. And he got saved, and family did. And by the way, he's one of the main teachers now in this adult class at our church there in San Luis. And that's where I go a lot of times, to go back and visit and encourage the brothers and sisters. And they've been a real blessing. And Juvenile has been here a couple of different times. He's one of the elders there. So anyway, it's just been a blessing. Dale and I felt that God wanted us to begin letting youth groups come down and use facilities there at the church. And so we did that, and we did that for 22 years. While we were there, living there, and then also after we retired, we'd go back for summers. And what a blessing that has been, because I still get letters from the kids that have grown up. We've got there's one young man that is in Afghanistan now. One girl just recently went to either Turkey or Kazakhstan, I'm not sure which. I got her letter the other day. I just get letters all the time from children that have gone on to grow up, and they're preachers, they're youth directors, and the majority of them have said to Dale and me, and also to me since Dale died, that most of them made the decision to follow the Lord full time from the trip to Mexico and to see the need all around them for preachers and teachers. And so that's been just really been a blessing to me. I know I can't come anywhere near to be able to do what I used to do, but I can pray. And I can give, I can send. I can send, and I count that such a privilege to be able to share in the ministry of all you missionaries. That's just a real blessing to me. I just sometimes think, I just wish I could just give more. And I just pray that God will continue to give me a lot of life, a lot of years, that I can continue to pray and to serve Him. I had hoped to be able to go to Mexico after the first year, but I've had a setback. But just to know that I've got 3 children in the mission field and 3 grandchildren in the mission field, and my other children are, like, Luis, I'm sure that most of you have met him. He's been here several times. He's our oldest Mexican son. And in May, he finishes his seminary in Dallas. And he's already preaching. He's already teaching. He called me the other day. He calls me Mama. Mama? He says, Mama, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'm going to just have to open my home. Every church I go to, they open the Bible and they read the verse and they never talk about it. And he said, I just don't think I can go back to that place. And said, I'm just going to have to open my house, I guess. And so that's what he's planning on doing. And it's a blessing. It really is. You know, talking about choices. Whenever I had my, I don't know which one, 6th or 7th child, he only lived a week. He was that really was hard for us to think. But still, we had to pray that, thank God for what He did for us. And so I felt like I had to have a baby, so we told all the doctors in town that we needed a baby. And nothing turned up. We had gotten a couple of babies for others, but I told Dale, I said, you know what, we'll have another one. We'll have another one. And of course that's our Joey, so it's so special. But I was 3 months pregnant with Joey, and the social worker who we had tried to get a baby from called or got in touch with us and said, guess what, I've got you a baby. There I was 3 months pregnant with one, and I was trying to take care of all the others, and I said, okay, you know, so, when we would, as she grew up and as our children grew up, we'd come back to the States. We would introduce our children and they'd sing for people, and they would say, you know, with 7, we just had to take what we got. Whatever was born, that's what we got. But Linda is so special because we got to pick her out. We got to choose her. And you know, we never, ever, ever tried to keep from her that she was adopted, because here we had all these blonde, blue-eyed kids, and then here's this cold, black, curly-headed little girl there, you know. And you know, through the years, I'd find notes all over the house. Mommy, I'm so glad you picked me. I'm so glad you chose me. And so that was very special to us. And so we have a wonderful family. Children aren't perfect, but they are a blessing to me. And I just pray that you would continue to pray with me that we'll have more missionaries go out of this place, and that we'll be able to support them. And just pray that God would send in the funds for them to not just barely scrape by, but to be able to live without having to wonder where their next meal is coming from. Thank you so much for everything you've been to me. I appreciate so much, and continue to. I just am blessed. I'm just a blessed woman.